Today I'm reading from the fourth chapter of 1 John, verses 7 to 21. God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is the word of the Lord.
Wonderful. Hello. Thank you. It's nice to say hello back, actually. Just a tip on sort of day-to-day life, if someone does say hello to you, I recommend it. Give them something back. My name's Andrew. It's lovely to be speaking. It'd be good for you to have a Bible with you. So if you don't, there is a load at the back, so do go and grab one for yourself. Or pop on your phone and that kind of thing. General rule of thumb, it's good to have a Bible in church, so do bring it with you. Cool. So I was at work the other day, and having a conversation with a colleague, and they've been going through quite a challenging time. Don't worry, it's not you, Elliot, because I know I work with you, mate. Don't get too sweaty. Don't worry. Yeah, do we have that conversation? He's like, "Woo! I don't remember this. I'm not sure it was okay to share, Andrew." Well, yeah, that was personal. It wasn't Elliot. And in my mind, because I've been trying to apply the teaching that Chris has been kicking off for us about agape, about love that it just gives and gives and gives, unconditional, hasn't got any conditions. I've been thinking about it, and. And as soon as this colleague said this to me, or was sharing about how they were struggling, straight away I knew that I needed to suggest to them that they take some extra time off. And as soon as I had that thought, I had this other thought, which was, but what will that mean for me? When that increased my workload? Who's going to cover for them? Is that fair? And I realized in that moment that the title of today's talk is, "What About Me?" Because I think it interrupts agape, that thought, that question. Because it stopped me from engaging in that moment, and hopefully you'll be pleased to know I overcame that. I didn't. I actually did suggest to them that they take some extra time off. And I said it with a smile on my face, with no begrudge in my heart at all. begrudge. Anyway, and but I realized that the thing that would have stopped me expressing what God had said to love them with was my concern for myself. And so I want to talk about worry. And I think that comes with worry is anxiety, and that comes with anxiety is fear. And if you've been sort of in this community for a while, then you may know I've been going through my own sort of journey with anxiety and worry over the past sort of 3 or 4 months. And this is all really part of that. And it's really me just sharing how worry in my life ruins my ability to agape, because it makes me think about me. And agape, which is right at the heart of God's love, God doesn't think about himself when he loves. He thinks about you and I when he loves. So I want to read to you a little verse from Matthew 6. But before I do that, I'll pray, because I forgot to. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you still speak today. Thank you that you speak in so many different ways through him. Sorry, I broke the lectern there. Oops. There we go. Father, thank you that you still speak in many different ways, and we open ourselves up to your voice and pray that we get a glimpse of what you're saying. That we wouldn't really listen too much with our logic. We'd listen with our hearts and our spirits. That when something resonates, that we'll take it away and chew over it until it makes sense as to why. And we won't discard it because it didn't make sense immediately. We would trust our sense, our spirit, and let it unfold with time. Amen. So here's this little verse from Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy or distracted about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body not more than clothing? I'll read it again, and I'll just add a few bits in that I think it also speaks into. Therefore I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy and distracted about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, where your career's going, who you might end up with, where you're going to live, how you're going to afford a house, how you're going to make sure you have decent holidays, how you're going to make sure your friends stay connected to you, how you're going to make sure you come across in all the right ways, how you're going to make sure that you've got enough to make that you're happy, the food that you're going to eat, the people that are around you, how are you going to make sure that you're seen as significant, that you're seen as something worthwhile, that you're going to leave an impact on the world? How are you going to make sure of all those things? And he says, stop worrying about it. Now, my experience is that it's quite hard to just stop worrying about it. I would have liked a few more practical tips at this stage. One, two, three steps. You know, step one, step two. But it just says, stop. And what I've come to realize about worry, or what I'm coming to realize about worry and anxiety, is that God doesn't just want to enter into our lives and just solve it for us. Because we don't learn much that way. That when God decides to work in us over process rather than a moment, it's because it's more valuable that way. I actually think that often God prefers to work with us in a process than he does to just do something on our behalf. Because you create history in the relationship with God. One of my favorite verses in scripture is Amos 3:3, which says, how can two people walk together unless they have both agreed to do so? Basically, God wants us to agree with him. He's always wanted mankind to live in communion with him, hearing his ideas, his heart, agreeing with it, and seeing it happen. Partnership is his preferred way of action. And it's the same with our wholeness. Okay, because worry isn't wholeness. So he wants to work in process with us. And I think the reason that God doesn't say, here are the steps, 1, 2, 3, about how to walk out of worry and anxiety, is because the steps are not the same for each of us. Because where the anxiety and the worry comes from, it comes from very different places. And unless we allow God to go deep within us to examine what those places might be, if we just try to stop worry by just treating the surface stuff, we're not going to see lasting change. Now, worry, I was trying to think about what's the difference between worry and anxiety. And I think worry is, and I'm not, you know, I don't necessarily think this is 100% right, but this is where I've got to in my thinking. I think worry is mainly a mental thing. And anxiety is when the emotion comes into it. When I was having panic attacks, it was a very emotional thing. It was a lot of fear that I really felt. But worry, I can worry without the feeling of worry. And I think worry is being consumed by things in your mind, turning things over, trying to work things out again and again and again. As that little bit in Matthew 6 said, stop being perpetually distracted about your life. I love the way Matthew 6 ends. It ends with Jesus saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. My experience with worry is even when you think you come to a conclusion and work it out, you just get given a new thing to worry about. Solving the worry isn't actually the solution. The solution is understanding that the thing that I'm worrying about isn't mine to sort. My tomorrow isn't my job. My career path is not my job to work it out. My relationship's not my job to work out where they're going to go. I was reading Luke chapter, I'm reading Luke's gospel, and in chapter 4, when Jesus is taken out to the wilderness to be tempted, there are three temptations. The first one is turn this stone to bread. The second one is Satan takes Jesus up to a mountain and says, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. You'll have authority over everything. Just worship me. And the third one is throw yourself off this temple and let's see if the angels stop you from damaging your toe. So two out of three of those temptations are present need. Jesus has been fasting for 40 days. He's hungry. Get something to eat. Throw yourself off this temple. Let's make sure you don't damage your toe. That's right now, present. The second one is interesting because it's about his destiny. You're designed to have authority over the entire earth. Let me give you another way of getting it. Instead of going through whatever God's will is for your life, worship me, and I'll give you your destiny cheaply. Now, some manuscripts say that Jesus' response to Satan at that moment was, get behind me, Satan. The other time that Jesus uses that phrase was when when Jesus says to Peter, basically, I'm going to have to die to fulfill God's will for my life. And Peter says, no, I'm not going to let anyone kill you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because the temptation was to take control of his own destiny. And he knew that was the greatest temptation for him, to take control of his tomorrow. He reacted so strongly to that thing because he knew that the greatest threat to his well-being, his peacefulness, him living life as it was meant to be lived, was taking control of his tomorrow. Because worry is actually all about control. I'm worried because I'm out of control of my future. We're all out of control of our future. No matter how many ISAs you've got, you're out of control. You don't know what's going to happen. If you've got health insurance, no matter how many insurance policies you've got, I mean, insurance, insurance is a bit of a thing for me because I just feel like insurance is basically built on fear, isn't it? I'm worried at all. Anyway, I know it's a good thing, but I think a little bit we get a bit like we should insure ourselves against anything that could possibly happen just to make sure we're safe. And then you realize you've still got an excess anyway, so it's always going to cost you no matter. So whatever, man, you know? I don't know. It's a funny thing. We try and get all these insurance policies in our mind. I think insurance is a good thing. Please buy insurance. but we, especially car insurance, because that's a legal requirement. But we try to get these insurances in our mind as well. You know, these things, these fail safes. You know, if this happened with, you know, I did it recently when I was sort of worried about if I suddenly decided I need to leave my job And I would suddenly get these fail-safes in my mind. Okay, well, what would my other options be? I could do this, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. What I was trying to do was I was trying to reason myself into peace. I was trying to find a way of controlling my fear so that it didn't overwhelm me. That's not the wholeness of life. The wholeness of life is to go, God, I have no idea what's going on tomorrow. But whatever is going to happen, it's not going to surprise you. Whatever comes tomorrow, you're never going to be surprised, God. You saw it coming. It doesn't mean you caused it, but you saw it coming. If you saw it coming, you've got wisdom for the situation. If you've got wisdom for the situation, if you've got advice, if you've got counsel, there's peace available. Chris talked brilliantly last week about a scripture elsewhere in the Gospels where Jesus says, those who try to gain their life will lose it, and those who lose their life will gain it. I would maybe put it like this to add what he was saying. Those who try to assume control of their destiny will lose life. They won't experience life as it was designed. Those who give themselves over and their future and their every tomorrow, give it over to God, they lose their sense of control of their life and give it to God, will find life. The moments when agape happen through me are the moments when I'm not thinking about myself. When I'm not thinking about, what does this mean for me? How's this going to affect me? And there's a lot of great teaching about understanding our healthy boundaries, about being really aware of what we need and what's healthy for us. And I'm not coming against that in any way, shape, or form. I really think that's good to not allow ourselves to be walked over by other people or anything like that. But there's a big part of agape, which is we need to stop thinking about ourselves. We need to stop thinking about our future and thinking it's the most important thing out there. It really cripples me, thinking so much about it. And what we realize is, how did Jesus live his life? You know, there's this amazing verse. Where is it? Let me try and find it from that 1 John 4. Yeah, verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. And then it goes on to say, there is no fear in love. We can be like Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit longs to enable in all of us. Not just in rare moments in our life, but actually of every moment. It is possible for the Holy Spirit to actually make your experience of life the same experience as Jesus had in life. Not through our merit, not through our achievement, but through the Holy Spirit's leadership, power, and grace. Did Jesus worry about his tomorrow? Well, unless he was a hypocrite, no. I don't think he was. So was Jesus thinking about how was this going to action or this choice going to affect where I'm going next? If I do this thing, is this going to look bad on my CV? If I do this thing, is it going to affect this relationship in the future? Do I want to network with this person to try and get here? Do I want to get in with this person so that it opens up this door or whatever? Whatever, man. Seriously, whatever, man. Stop creating your own future. If you create your own future, it's on your shoulders. If it's on your shoulders, go be worried, because it's a big thing to carry. But it's not the way of life. It's not the way of Christ. Because the way of Christ says, my life is not my own. So today, God, what are you saying? Today, God, what are you saying? Now, I don't think often we're willing to admit that we have a control issue. Big time. That we worry because we want to have control. We just don't own it. And sometimes we then own it, but we don't actually want to move on from it. And I suppose that's where everything that is communicated in church, everything that's written in scripture, it stops at that line, which is, do you want it, do you not? You know, it just stops there. No one can make it for you. No one can go, well, I don't know, well, no one can make you do it. And I think as we look at this wholeness series, as we look at agape, I've just realized that I'm so not whole. I think about myself all the time. I'm so worried about tomorrow. And I'm not going to access agape. if I hold on to that? And we need to learn how to hear God's voice for us personally, how to actually walk day-to-day life being led by the Holy Spirit. There's no shortcut. But as we talk about wholeness, right at the heart of wholeness, is have you given yourself to God? I basically feel like I get to this point in every single thing I talk about at the minute. I just, no matter what the topic is, we'll just get to here, because I guess it's right at the heart of things. Jesus says, follow me. Are you? Are you? What does it mean to be a disciple? To actually know what God is saying to you and to say yes and to embrace the journey, no matter what refinement he opens up. When he points his finger on an insecurity, that you go, okay, God, let's deal with this. Let's not hide behind it. Let's not create my identity out of my brokenness, but let's embrace my brokenness so it become health through your journey, through your process, and through your healing. Discipleship is a journey, and the journey is marked by, do you keep saying yes to the things that God is doing? Is God actually leading your life? Are your choices framed around his voice, or are they based around your judgments? Do you make your choices because of his leadership? Now, sometimes, and I've said this a million times, that God gives us choices and lots of options are blessed. Brilliant. He's so kind how he does that. But do you have a sense of God's blessing, God's hand on your choices? Or are we making them independently? It's just discipleship, isn't it? So that's really all I've got to say, is that worry disables agape, because worry puts you at the center of your world, and you weren't made for that. That wholeness, us being fully who we are made to be, to experience the fullness of life, means that we give over our tomorrows, that we give over our sense of understanding of where we're going and what we're doing and all that stuff. And it enables us, it liberates us, to be moldable, impressionable, and leadable by God in the today. And often, that's what we're missing, because agape is present, worry is future. Neil, I hope you got some idea of next steps, because, you know, I just sort of ran out of steam there. So I'll pray, and that'll give you a bit of time to sort of, didn't give you any warning there. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you long to liberate us from worry, from anxiety, from the sort of crippling effect that it has. Thank you, as the worship team were singing over us, that you're never wearied by our failures. We're never wearied by our brokenness, by our incompleteness. That you actually, sometimes you just, I don't know, I think you just love refinement, God, because you always see where we're going. You always see the growth that's available. You always see the health and the wholeness. But Jesus, I pray that you will disturb our spirits, that we will not be able to tolerate a conviction of worry in our lives. If you've put your finger on it, God, would we not be able to tolerate it being there and just keep living with it in our lives? Would we actually own it and say, okay, God, if you want to change it, let's change this? Would you lead us? Would you teach us, God? Thank you that we're not like anybody else, that we can be led through other people's experience. We can gain wisdom through the narratives of Scripture, but ultimately it's down to your Spirit to grab it from the pages and plant it into our heart. Thank you, God, that you don't look down on us, but you look up with us. Thank you, God, that you're trustworthy. I'm sorry I don't believe it. And thank you that you don't mind terribly that I don't believe it, but that you want to grow me into a place where I do believe it. Thank you, God, it's okay that my faith is flawed, but that you want to move us forward. We bless you, Father. Amen. Neil.
Fantastic.